children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams. The one they picked, the one you know by.
And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the program today, the founder and CEO, Philippe Potesta Herder, and the co-founder of the Rhythm Foundation, Laura Quinlan, share their excitement about the premier Miami Nice Jazz Festival that opens tonight at downtown Miami's Gusman Center for the Performing Arts in the Olympia Theater. Judith Bishop previews the Miami Book Fair International with fair co-producer Lisette Mendez, and today's arts calendar features Bill Nix, Vice President of the Palm Beach County Cultural Council, with enticing events for your consideration. Founded in 1985 to recognize and honor a significant arts teacher within all artistic disciplines working in the Broward County Public Schools, the annual Broward County Arts Teacher of the Year program has celebrated and showcased the artistic excellence of Broward students and faculty for decades. Through a partnership of the Broward Cultural Division, the School Board of Broward County, the Broward Center for the Performing Arts, Business for the Arts of Broward, and supporting corporations Florida Power and Light, AutoNation, and BBX Capital, the program honors an arts teacher and provides an opportunity for arts students to gain valuable experience performing in a high-quality professional institution. Three finalists were selected this year: Hillary Fine of Hollywood Academy of Arts and Science, Susan Ostheim of South Broward High School, and Nina Zarshevsky of Nova High School. And we welcome to South Florida Arts Beat today the winner of the 2012 Broward County Arts Teacher of the Year, Ms. Nina Zarshevsky. And hello and congratulations, Nina.
Hi, Ed. How are you today?
Great, great. Tell me how you feel about your win this week.
Oh, well, once I come down from the clouds, maybe I'll be able to do that. Oh, it's wonderful. I was very surprised and very honored. I was with such wonderful competition that I didn't expect to win, but I did, and it's wonderful.
Now, tell us about your anti-bullying play called Weight of Words, which has been performed to over 20,000 people, I understand?
Yes, and we're still performing. 3 years ago, I collaborated with Lovewell Institute for the Creative Arts, of which I'm a board member, and also the Office of Prevention of Broward County, and we had gotten a grant to write something about bullying. So my students got together along with those two groups, and they wrote their own musical entitled Weight of Words, and it came from their own experiences, and it's quite emotional to watch.
Mm. Now, how many students were involved?
About 30 originally, the original cast. Mm-hmm. And each year, because students graduate, each year I've got to recast the show with, you know, some of the remaining students. But this is our third year, so I think we've got three students that are now seniors that were sophomores when it was first written. And now there's only three original members, and we've got a new cast that's going to be performing this year.
So originally 30 students brought you stories about bullying?
Right, about their own experiences, about being a bystander, about being a victim, and about being a bully. You know, everybody admits that they were at one time a bully.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody, adults too.
Mm. Now, what are your hopes for the development of Weight of Words? Are you going to take it nationally?
You know, if that were a possibility, it would be wonderful. I had this image at the very beginning. I said, this is something that needs to be taught. It needs to be out in the community because everybody is bullied, and it's an epidemic at this point, an absolute epidemic, and people just push it under the rug like it's not happening. And when students are killing themselves with suicide, you know, killing themselves, committing suicide, or being bullied to death in some cases, you know, we've got to do something about that. So the outcome has been, you know, when students watch this, there are tears in the audience. We have a talk back, and to see, you know, fifth and sixth graders come up to the microphone at the end of the talk back and just cry and tell us their stories, it's just amazing. And to have counselors on hand, sometimes the schools aren't even capable of handling the emotion that comes with this release of these children that are telling you their life story. Mm-hmm. This happens to me all the time, being having my head stuck in a toilet or in a locker. I'm being pushed into a locker. I'm afraid to go to school. You know, that it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
Nina, how can our listeners help you out in this effort to take this play national?
Well, we're trying to get in touch with President Obama, or mm-hmm. Michelle, actually, to let her know that we've got this play, that mm-hmm. it's written, that it's been performed for this many people. You know, letters to Ellen, letters to people, you know, that are for this bullying, you know, against bullying, and we want to promote this. Mm-hmm. Letters, I guess, is the best way to go.
How can our listeners reach you? You want to give them an email address?
Sure, it's a long email. Through the Broward School System, it's nina.zekchevsky@browardschools.com. And my last name is a real tongue twister, not only to say but to spell, ZAKRZEWSKI. And it's Nina, N-I-N-A dot Zekchevsky at browardschools.com. That's my email, my personal email to the school system.
Okay. I hope you get a flood of responses.
I hope so, too.
Let me ask you, Nina, that, you know, we all know art programs are usually the first items to be cut from school budgets in economically lean times. Are the arts important to a child's education?
We acted from the time we came out of the womb, and most people don't understand that. You know, we learn, and I tell my students this all the time, especially when they're in high school, because then they start, you know, when they're younger, they love to act. They're always imitating, you know, but we learned by watching our siblings, by watching our parents when they're goo-goo and gaga-ing to us, you know, and we're imitating. That's pantomime. We learn best through the arts. We learn everything through the arts. We learn by watching. We learn by imitating. That's acting. But no one realizes that. Hmm. Why? No one's ever made that connection. I don't understand. When I even teach my English classes, I teach them through what they already know. When I teach my acting classes, I teach them this way. This is the philosophy that I try to teach. This isn't anything new. I'm not trying to put you in front of someone and this is foreign to you. It's not foreign. You've been doing it from the time you were little, when you played school when you were younger. I mean, I remember being the director and acting out the Cinderella story when I was little, because that's what I love to do, because that's what you do when you're young. You role play.
Mm-hmm.
We do it all along. We do, you know, there's drama as a rehabilitative technique in colleges. Acting and theater and the performing arts is, and music therapy, all of these things we need as human beings. We should not be devoid of that, you know, and we need, especially our superintendent who loves the arts, which we're so thankful for, and is not going to cut the arts, any of the arts in these school systems. But the more arts we have, the easier it's going to be for children to learn the other disciplines they have to learn. If we can be more interdisciplinary and actually put the arts into the science class, into the math class, it'll make learning so much easier for our children.
Now tell me quickly, in our last 2.5 minutes, why is an arts education so important to all of our lives here in South Florida?
Well, first of all, in South Florida, I don't know if you know this or not, but South Florida's got a very big thespian.
Prolific.
There are 7,000 students that hit Tampa every year, and the largest amount of students come from South Florida, and the biggest competition are our students and our school systems down here in South Florida. So, and we've got the Broward Center, we've got the Arts Center, we've got, you know, the one in West Palm Beach, it slips my mind right now, but we've got this all around, and we've got so many tourists coming down here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it provides work and jobs for people. Tourists come down here and they want to be able to do something other than enjoy the sun. And it's an arts field down here, you know, and we, with the weather, and we could do theater outside. We could do theater inside when it's warm. We could do theater on the beach if we wanted to. We could take some of these parking garages and do theater, or do guerrilla theater in there. There's so many things that we can do, you know, if people just are aware of the fact that this can be done.
Now, let's not forget the great Kravis Center up there in Palm Beach.
That's right, Kravis Center. Exactly.
Now, Nina, as the 2012 Broward County Arts Teacher of the Year, do you have any specific duties that you must fulfill for receiving that honor?
Well, it happened 2 nights ago. I'm not sure, but there's some things that I'd love to do. I want to get out into the community, and I want to be able to teach students. I want to do workshops. I want to be the spokesperson for the arts. I want to do what I do best, and that's teach. I want to just educate the community about the arts and why it's so important.
Let's get your email address again, please.
NINA.ZAKRZEWSKI at BrowardSchools.com.
And let's hope you're able to take the weight of words play nationally. It has a magnificent message. You can also follow the Broward Cultural Division on Twitter at Broward Arts. You can stay informed on the most up-to-date information on the Broward Cultural Division's Facebook page, and you can receive the Broward Cultural Division's free bi-monthly email newsletter. Go to broward.org/arts, and you can subscribe for free. You can visit the Broward Cultural Division website for more detailed information about grants, workshops, event information, and other arts resources. Ms. Nina Zarshevsky, congratulations to you, and may you take your message, your wonderful, important message, to the world.
Thank you so much, Ed.
And know they
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the show, Judith Bishop previews some of the numerous events coming to the 29th annual Miami Book Fair International with co-producer Lisette Mendez. Today's arts calendar features Bill Nix with enticing events in Palm Beach County.
I'm ready now to do another song. I hope that you all will come along. I hope that you will like the way that we do it. I'm really telling you there is nothing to it. We're just gonna sing and play and do our thing. We hope that you will come on and that it will swing. Come on and get it, come on.
Next up is the festival founder and CEO of a production effort that will, for the next 5 years, bring national and international jazz stars to the beautiful Gusman Center in downtown Miami, together with the production expertise from the co-founder of the Rhythm Foundation.
Get up, get on up, stay on the scene, get on up, I like a sex machine, get on up, get up, get on up, get on up, stay on the scene, get on up, I like a love machine.
Philippe Potesta Herder and Laura Quinlan, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you, Ed.
Thanks.
Pleasure to be here.
Great to have you back, Laura. It was just a few months ago, I think.
Great to be here.
And our subject is something very exciting, particularly for Miami-Dade County. The Miami Nice Jazz Festival is tonight, October 26th. And it's quite exciting. You're bringing major international names to downtown Miami. And Philippe, let's get us started by giving us a little history of the long-running Nice Festival in France.
Yeah. The Nice Jazz Festival started back in 1948 with all the grand performers such as Louis Armstrong, Django Reinhardt, Stefan Grappelli. Mm. What a good time, right?
Wow.
And over the years, different producers have put on the show and continued that great festival. To mention George Wynn with the Newport Jazz Festival.
Wonderful. Among others.
Among others,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So the city of Nice and the city of Miami are sister cities. I'm both a resident of the city of Miami, and I was born in Nice. So last year when I visited South of France to go to the festival, we realized that there was a definite match between those two locations, especially now that the festival has moved from an old area, which was the Cimier area outside of Nice, and it's now in the center of the city. In the heart of the city. Mm. So we decided to do the exact same thing and bring it here in the heart of the city of Miami, in downtown, in that beautiful neighborhood.
Oh, that's so exciting. Now, Laura Quinlan, the co-founder of the magnificent Rhythm Foundation, how did you all get involved?
We have a long history of working with Francophone artists and some jazz artists, and we were introduced to Philippe by the cultural department of our French consulate office here in Miami. They felt like we could be a nice, simpatico production team and help get the festival launched here in Miami. It was really a nice vote of confidence, and we often get pitched collaborations, but when we met Philippe, we just felt we had really met a kindred production partner, somebody who we would really enjoy working with. We loved the project from the start.
Well, we're looking forward to the next 5 years, certainly. That's at least the collaboration you all are pursuing at this moment. We hope it will grow into 10 and 20 and 30 years. I find it a very interesting collaboration in that, of course, you've got great international jazz stars, but you're going to bring to South Florida some great jazz artists that not too many people know, like Andre Ceccarelli.
Andre Ceccarelli, for instance, who started in the 70s a short-lived band, which was called Truck, T-R-O-C. So they are bringing that, they're starting touring again with the old crew from that band. And he's from Nice as well. He played with all the major artists. As a matter of fact, he was the drummer for Didi Bridgewater for many years. Ah. That's playing tonight at the Gusman, actually.
And Didi's playing tonight, and she's your ambassador of this
she's
whole
She's the
effort.
Ambassador. She's going to do a tribute to Billie Holiday.
Mm.
That's going to be the headline tonight. And prior to that, we are welcoming for its Florida debuts Kyle Eastwood and his quintet. He's a very well-known bass player, electric and classical. And opening the show this evening, the Florida International University will be featuring the vocalist Sally Knight. She's British, lives in New York and in Nice as well. And prior to that, we have a cocktail hour between 7 and 8, where two jazz ensembles from the FIU School of Music will also be performing while guests find their chairs.
And the concert hall, of course, is the Gusman, the Olympia Theater in downtown Miami.
Yeah.
Wonderful mainstream jazz hasn't echoed throughout those walls in quite some time, and I'm sure the building and the people will thoroughly enjoy it. So Didi Bridgewater tonight, Kyle Eastwood's band, and the FIU Big Band performing. That's an exciting big band. And
very
how
exciting.
Wonderful of you two to incorporate a lot of great South Florida talent. Laura, that's really necessary, isn't it?
We have so many great jazz musicians, jazz artists, jazz schools, jazz educators here in South Florida. And as we've discussed many times, we have a great jazz tradition, jazz history here in South Florida. So we love bringing in the international, the French, the New York, and the Miami together for the Miami Nice Jazz Festival.
So exciting. Saturday, tomorrow night, October 27th, what's on tap, Philippe?
Tomorrow night, we'll have the great honor to welcome legendary pianist Eddie Palmieri and his Latin jazz band. So we'll be headlining that evening. Prior to that, Andre Ceccarelli, that we just talked about, will be presenting his U.S. debuts for Truck. So it's going to be featuring vocalist Alex Ligertwood, used to be lead singer of Santana for a few years.
And before that, I gotta put this in because I love Brian Auger. Brian Auger's Express, a magnificent band that we really miss.
So the opening show will be done with the South Florida Jazz Orchestra under the direction of Chuck Bergeron.
That's tomorrow night.
And we will also featuring Nicole Henry.
Mm.
She will sing along on the South Florida Jazz Orchestra tunes.
She's the world's new Nancy Wilson.
She's awesome.
She's awesome.
Actually, a couple of years ago, actually it was more than that, like maybe 4 years ago, actually, she was surprisingly, she came out like as an amazing talent in one of the French jazz festival, which is the one in...
Juan-les-Pins?
Exactly.
Ah.
And from all the names that that we presented for the festival, when we did the press conference in South of France, when we mentioned her name, we had like jazz fans. They were like clapping and so happy that somehow she's, you know, enticed to an international jazz festival where South of France is part
she's
of
big
it.
In Japan, too. Not to quote Tom Waits, but... So
we are very excited.
Now, who is Janik Top and his band?
Janik Top are the musicians part of Truck.
Ah.
So you have Mr. Mazziarello, Mr. Top, and Amaury Filliard. So that's all the musicians from the old days of Truck, that short-lived band, and they decided to tour again now that they are older and they just want to jam and have fun. So that's going to be along the notes of jazz rock type of musical repertoire. It's really fun and really rhythmic.
A lot of information should you need some answers at Miami Nice, N-I-C-E, as in Nice, France, MiamiNiceJazzFestival.com, or you can call for ticket information, 305-374-2444. And once again, tonight and tomorrow night, all shows take place at the beautiful Gusman Center for the Performing Arts, the Olympia Theater in downtown Miami at 174 East Flagler Street. Once again, Miami Nice Jazz Festival. And you all have scheduled satellite events that'll keep downtown Miami alive.
Yes.
There's a new club opening up called Avenue D.
Exactly. We have a couple of blocks from the Gusman Center on both nights. Complimentary wristband will be distributed to patrons of the Gusman for those events, and they will be able to then enjoy more jazz at jam sessions at Avenue D. The city of Miami is actually putting a few trolleys to our use to be able to actually bring people from the Gusman to the Avenue D without having to get back in their cars and all that. And they are also giving us the opportunity to use trolleys from 6:30 p.m. till midnight in the Brickell area to be able to bring people from Brickell to the Gusman without having taking their cars.
Bravo to the city of Miami for their wonderful cooperation.
Definitely.
This is going to be a multi-year effort. We hope it continues far past your original plan of 5 years. But let me also direct attention to your special VIP jazz lounge experience that includes a cafe table for two, wine and cocktails, and valet parking at the beautiful Gusman. We just have about a minute and a half left. Also, a Sunday afternoon jazz garden party.
We partnered also with the beautiful Biltmore, that is traditionally very much involved in jazz for years now. And we will be doing a lawn party with Monica da Silva, who's going to perform some bossa nova songs and tunes, and also the Loiselle Machines Quintet, which is a gypsy jazz experience on the to give people great memories about the great Django back then. So this is, we're going to play that kind of music in the afternoon. And at night, we're also going to have a cozy dinner at Palme d'Or with a trio, a vocalist, bass, and piano.
How wonderful. You've got multi-venues performance-wise at the Gusman Center, the Olympia Theater. Once again, for more info, MiamiNiceJazzFestival.com is the website to go to, or call 305-374-2444. Congratulations on this magnificent collaboration, Laura and Philippe. Thank you so much for joining us on South Florida Arts Beat, and may this be a South Florida Nice, France tradition for decades to come.
Thank you so much, Ed.
The first edition of the Miami Nice Jazz Festival starts tonight and runs through Sunday, with concerts taking place in downtown Miami's Gusman Center for the Performing Arts and satellite events throughout downtown Miami and the Biltmore Hotel in Coral Gables on Sunday. Once more, for more information, go to MiamiNiceJazzFestival.com or call 305-374-2444. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue in just a moment. South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Bill Nix, Vice President of the Palm Beach County Cultural Council, has enticing events for your consideration on our Palm Beach Arts calendar.
If they asked me, I could write a book about the way you walk and whisper and you look. I could write a preface on how we met, so the world would never forget.
Right now, contributor Judith Bishop gives us a preview of South Florida's premier literary event, the Miami Book Fair International, now in its 29th year.
November means two things here in Miami: Thanksgiving and the Miami International Book Fair. So mark your calendars. This year's edition of the Book Fair opens Sunday, November 11th, and it closes 1 week later on Sunday, November 18th. The Book Fair, now in its remarkable 29th year, was the brainchild of Mitchell Kaplan, owner of Books and Books. It was a very big idea that's now snowballed into a very big event. Literary lions gather here along with political leaders and best-selling authors. There's something for every taste: literary fiction, political history, cookbooks, children's books, and programs featuring Spanish-speaking writers. The secret to a first-rate book fair is first-rate bookings, and our guest today is responsible for selecting the authors and cajoling them into saying yes. She also does the scheduling, which must be a potential nightmare given the hectic schedules of best-selling authors in the midst of book tours. Lizette Mendez, the program coordinator, is one of those unsung heroes who works behind the scenes all year long. She develops and implements literary programs at the Center for Literature and Theater at Miami-Dade College. And Miami-Dade College, of course, is a major sponsor of the book fair. Lizette Mendez understands the creative spirit and the business of books. She is a published author of poetry and nonfiction, and she is our guest today on South Florida Arts Beat. Lizette, welcome. It's great to have you here on South Florida Arts Beat. This year, the Miami International Book Fair is going to open on a very high note with one of the definitive writers of our times, Tom Wolfe. And to make that event even more significant, his latest novel, Back to Blood, is set right here in Miami. Have you read the book yet, and what kind of advance do you have on it?
No, I haven't read the book yet, but, you know, everybody's really worried that it's going to be controversial, you know, that it's going to make Miami look bad or it's going to make Miami look like this. And, you know, what I tell everybody is, you know, Miami is what it is, you know, and no matter what you write about it, somebody's going to take it the wrong way. You know, Miami has such a multiplicity of ethnicities and cultures and people from so many places and you name it that, you know, everybody has a different opinion. And I think one of the things about the book is that, you know, that's what he is really trying to get at. You know, all the, you know, the nuances of the different communities that make Miami home and how they interact or don't, you know, how they get along or don't. And it's his view after spending some time here. It's a fictional story, but, you know, his view of how Miami functions. And, you know, some people are going to love it. Some people are going to hate it. And that's what's going to make it the most interesting evening at the college.
Well, I'm certainly going to be there. You know, it sounds like he's going to do for Miami what he did for New York in Bonfire of the Vanities, right?
Yeah.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, that book has, you know, gone on to become a classic. So I'm pretty sure that this one's going to, you know, there's a number of fantastic writers, you know, over the years who have written, you know, these sort of definitive Miami books, Joan Didion being one of them. Mm-hmm. She's been to the fair a number of occasions. And so I think it's going to end up on the shelves of a lot of people in this, you know. This could be Joan Didion's book, his book, Rife's book, also Miami, Welcome to Miami.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see if we can assign real life characters to some of the supposedly fictional characters in his book.
If we can find people. Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of speculation.
Fiction is always a major part of the book fair, and this year you've got best-selling authors James Patterson, and you also have Juno Diaz. What are their new books about, and what can we expect from their appearances?
Well, Juno's new book is kind of it's a kind of love story or a story about love's lost. And I haven't read that. You know what I always do? I save the books that I want to read the most, you know, from the authors that are coming to a book fair. Even if they come out earlier in the year, once I know they're coming to the fair, I save them till after the fair so that I can really enjoy them when I'm not so stressed out from putting the program together. And Juno's new book is one of those. So it's kind of like a story of love lost and men and women relating to each other. One of the things that a piece that was given to me as a gift recently is a kind of like a one-off broadsheet. It's written by Juno, and it's all the books that he lost or his character lost in the breakup between him and this woman that the story is about. And it's all the different books that he loved so much. And then the breakup comes and then he loses them. And so as he tells you what the book it was, Toni Morrison's Beloved, you know, is one of the books that's listed. He tells you what he loved about it, what she loved about it, and how it played in the relationship, but in this beautiful, tiny, like, 1-2 paragraph vignettes. And so I think the book is going to be kind of like that when I do get a chance to read it. And he's just been nominated for the National Book Award.
Fantastic. That's great. What's the title of the new book?
This is How You Lose Her. It's the full title.
Oh, Easy title. I loved the last book. I thought it was fantastic, and I remember so much vividly, except the title. It was so long and convoluted that it was a tough one to remember.
I know. Most people just call it Oscar Wilde.
Yeah, right. Exactly. This year, a big year, election politics. Everyone is talking about it, and you've got two major presidential historians. You've got David Moranis, who has a new book on President Obama, and you've got Robert Caro, who writes definitively about Lyndon Baines Johnson. Are they appearing together or separately?
They're not appearing together. David Moranis is going to be on the weekend. I don't have the exact time or the day yet, but it's going to be either on the Saturday or the Sunday. Robert Caro, I do have information on. He's going to be one of our Evenings With on Thursday night. Evenings With is a program during the week with two authors each night, and they're kind of like the keynote presentations for the book fair every night of the week. And he's one of our two Thursday nights. Our other Thursday night is Adam Gopnik, who, you know, has written a number of books, but he also writes for New Yorker. People kind of know him from his letters from Paris and his column at the New Yorker, which was so beautiful. And so many of those were collected in his From Paris to the Moon book a number of years back.
Two great bookings. And also staying sort of in the political vein would be Jeffrey Toobin. He's got the inside look at the Roberts Supreme Court, the health care crucial vote.
Yeah.
And I know he's been on a book tour, and I think we're really lucky to have him here to elaborate on it.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be another good night. It turns out we have a number of political books, you know, or books related to politics, not just in the weekend, but also on the weeknights. Jeffrey Toobin is one of our Wednesday night authors, and there's a wonderful program on Friday night, which the name is not going to be one of those aha, oh yeah, I know all about that guy kind of name. Alan Ryan is a professor at Princeton now, but his life's work has been this three-volume history and philosophy of politics from Herodotus to the present, and it's an amazing book put out by Norton, and it's one of those things that, again, it might not be the kind of book or name that you automatically go, oh, yeah, I know that guy, or I know that, you know, I really want to read that because it's, you know, has the immediacy or the spiciness of something like the Tom Wolfe book. But anybody who's interested at all in politics or in philosophy or in Western civilization, you know, should really come to this event and at least hear him speak.
Now, on a much lighter note, you've booked fashion icons Isabel and Ruben Toledo. They're going to be interviewed by Elle Magazine's Nina Garcia, who's also
We're hoping. There's some changes. She's experiencing some changes in her life, which we are not really sure, but all related to her career. And so we're not sure if she's going to be able to come or not, but definitely Isabel Toledo and her husband will be here. And I'm personally very excited about that. You know, a lot of people don't really know who she is or who he is. They're sort of the fashion designers. They're these sort of uncompromising, non-commercial figures. You know, they're true artisans when it comes, particularly Isabel and her, you know, with her fashion design. Ruben is an illustrator and artist. They work together. But she's not commercial. It's like you're not going to find people carrying bags. You know, Macy's is not carrying her new line of bags or anything like that. And a lot of people don't know who she is. But I was very interested in fashion when I was a teenager. So my mom gave me a subscription to Vogue magazine at 15. And I, you know, I would read about her, and she was so amazing. And she was Cuban American, which makes it just that much more interesting, being that I'm from Miami and I'm Cuban. And so I've sort of followed her career a little bit over the years. So when she wrote this book, I immediately knew we had to have her at the fair. And there's a show of her fashions over the years. It's a retrospective. It's going to be at the Freedom Tower, the Miami-Dade College Museum of Art and Design, throughout the month of November and into the new year.
We could talk for hours about this.
Yes.
It sounds like you've done a great job.
Thank you.
Good luck with the book fair.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lizette, for joining us today on South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you.
This year's edition of the Miami International Book Fair kicks off Sunday, November 11th, and closes one week later on Sunday, November 18th. The festivities include a street fair that's always very popular, and that runs the last weekend, November 16th through 18th. The location, as always, is the Miami-Dade College Wolfson Campus, 300 Northeast 2nd Avenue in downtown Miami. For more information, you can telephone 305-237-3528. For South Florida Arts Beat, this is Judith Bishop.
Judith Bishop is a television journalist and executive producer who has covered breaking news, politics, and the arts for WABC and CNBC, and is currently a contributor to WLRN-TV, Channel 17. Once again, for more information about the Miami Book Fair International, go to miamibookfair.com or call 305-237-3528. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue right after these messages.
If they asked me, I could write a book about the way you walk and whisper and you look.
And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And we welcome back Bill Nix, Vice President of the Palm Beach County Cultural Council. Great to have you join us again, Bill.
It is great to always be here. And I tell you, I'm kind of on a high because the spotlight, as everyone knows, has been placed this week on Boca Raton and
yes.
Palm Beach County. And I have to tell you, they did a fabulous job of hosting the third presidential debate that we had, and my wife and I just happened to be able to be on that campus during the debate time, and
wow.
It was a lovely evening outside we were watching, but it was just great to have all this kind of publicity focused on Boca Raton and Delray Beach and other places. So it's really been a fabulous week for Palm Beach County.
Certainly.
I will tell you this, I like the fact that the president of Lynn University, where it was held, and of course a lot of people didn't know. A lot of people here probably don't know where Lynn University was. Now we do. But I love the fact that they have this T-shirt that they put out that said, hey, we don't know you either. It was just great. But, you know, all that's changed now. Then, of course, the next day, Tuesday, Delray Beach got added national coverage with President Obama holding a rally, an energetic rally on Tuesday at the Tennis Center, which is right next door to the Center for the Arts at Delray. So we had a lot going on, a lot to report, and I will tell you, I was privileged to represent the cultural community on the Presidential Debate Community Task Force. That task force has been meeting since April with representatives from across the county, law enforcement, municipalities, the school district, and of course the university. And it's just great that it all came together and went off very well this week. The cultural community came together to present kind of a unified welcome to the more than 9,000 guests reported to be in the area and 3,000 journalists from around the world. So we tried to take clear advantage of all these people coming into our community of South Florida and letting them feel very welcome. So our overarching theme was, from a cultural standpoint, American Stories, a community united, and we have that through music, art, history, dance, nature, and literature. We created a special website with events that are happening, that were happening and are happening, so there's easy access. And I'll just tell you now, if you go on palmbeachculture.com/2012debate events, you'll see a long list of things that were pulled together as American Stories of a Community United. And we should be very proud that we have gotten some very good feedback on this location and this destination. So we created a special culture key to the arts and culture in Palm Beach County, Florida's cultural capital. And we were trying to make sure that all the guests from around the world knew that culture had found its place in the sun here, and they could actually download from our site a culture key that welcomed them into the community and gave them all the things that they could do.
So impressive.
We just tried to pull out the welcome mat, and that welcome mat still is out here for all your listeners as well. I'll just tell you, we also put together two cultural expos, one in Boca, another in Delray, and on Monday night, we also participated in viewing parties from Boca to Maltz Jupiter Theater in the north part. So all of this was around the theme American Stories of Community United, and the arts are definitely for everybody, and Ed, as you and I know, the only party we care about is a good party with music and arts.
Yes, so, indeed.
Absolutely. So it's nonpartisan. We just want everybody to have a good time. But let me share with you some of the activities that are still going on
please,
for our listeners. And again, you can go to our website under 2012 debate events and see that. Over in Boca Raton, we had a magnificent quilt exhibit that's at the Boca Raton Museum of Art. It's called Politics, Not as Usual. And it was interesting, or is interesting, because it's talking about quilts that have something to say. It's an exhibition that highlights about two centuries of women who wouldn't take no for an answer, women who used quilting as a venue to cast their votes and comment on political landscape and a way to participate in the national life. And so it's very interesting to go over there and see this exhibit. When people go on our website, they will see under the theme American Stories kind of a symbolic representation of the quilts. But one of the special quilts that's over there, and the first time out of New York, is the one that came from 9/11. It's a quilt that has the names of all of the 3,466 panels for everyone who lost their lives in that tragic occurrence, both in New York, Pennsylvania, and elsewhere. So it's something that has only been out of New York once, and it is right now at the Boca Raton Museum of Art. It'll be there through January, but it is fascinating to see. Also in Boca, during that time, you know, Lynn is a young school, as it was mentioned, about 50 years old, but kind of so is Boca in the sense of not being here for centuries. And so it's very interesting if you go over to their Boca Raton Historical Society, they have an exhibition that talks about the beginnings of this area. It talks about Addison Meisner, who really began the Mediterranean architecture that we see everywhere in South Florida. And in fact, it talks about the fact that the Boca Raton Hotel was taken over by the Army because there was an airfield close by, and it was a training ground for pilots and especially submarine hunters and radar people. And that's because we had, people might not know, we had German submarines off our coast.
Supposedly, and, yeah.
Yeah, and so one of the reasons it was there for that. So a lot of great history about here. It's also the home of the first PC developed by IBM. So there's a lot of historic information in that exhibit. Very fun exhibit because it's kind of interactive as well. And that lasts until January 11th. What we used to call Old School Square has now been named Delray Beach Center for the Arts. And that's in recognition of its mission and role as the, in fact, Center of the Arts in Delray. And each Friday, there's a free concert on the lawn, and the Cornell Museum of Art is open during that time. There's food trucks, there's beverages being sold, and this is a really family-friendly outdoor concert series. Tonight is a rock and roll group, Preservation, that's playing. On the 2nd of November is the Klezmer Company Orchestra, playing klezmer-type music. There's a Billy Joel tribute by Turnstile on the 9th of November, and Rachel Anders is playing some jazz rock on November 16th. There's a full lineup because it goes throughout the season, but those are the ones that carry you through to November. But it's just great to be there out underneath the stars listening to a concert. Also on the 28th is another free concert there at Center for the Arts, and that is the Youth Orchestra of Palm Beach doing something called Ghouls and Goblins. Of course, that's for Halloween. So great to go over there and get your tickets early for the play Titanic, the musical, starting on November 16th. And, of course, check out the Arts Garage just right next door. They have a full month of shows. The Cultural Council's gallery is presenting a solo exhibition from the photographer Michael Dubliner. It's called Election Series. A lot of us will remember this, and that is the 2000 presidential election. But it was clear during that time when the outcome was kind of in doubt. People came out in the streets, and it was kind of a spontaneous pouring of emotions and demonstrations. And he's chronicled all of that during that time, and so that's an exhibit we're having here at the Cultural Council Gallery in Lake Worth. The Photographic Center up in West Palm Beach is featuring another exhibit of the 2012 Summer Olympics. In terms of theater, and we always have great theater in Palm Beach County, we have Telly's Folly by Langsford Wilson at Drama Works. Amadeus is up at the Moats Jupiter Theater, and The King and I is right here in Lake Worth Theater, right up the street from the Cultural Council. After Dark continues at the Norton Museum of Art. The Flagler Museum on Palm Beach gives you a glimpse into the early beginnings of Florida in a truly magnificent way that speaks about the Gilded Age. And the Palm Beach Zoo highlights animals of Florida, Central, and South America. So there are many, many ways to enjoy the America story, and here in Palm Beach County, we're united to showing you a good time. So make sure to go on our website. Again, I tell you, that's palmbeachculture.com/2012debate events, and you'll get also more events that are going on right here in Palm Beach County. And, of course, if you plan to stay in a hotel, and we suggest you do, you can get yourself Culture Key right there on our website. Just download it, come up, show your key, and enjoy Palm Beach County.
That's the always informative Bill Nix, Vice President of the Palm Beach County Cultural Council. Bill, thanks for all of that great information, and good weekend to you, sir.
Same to you, Ed. Come up and visit us.
Let me also mention the Museum of Art Fort Lauderdale, Nova Southeastern University, and the Miramar Cultural Center Arts Park present All That Jazz, photographs of jazz legends now through May, on display in the Anson Family Art Gallery. The photography exhibit includes iconic images of jazz greats such as Dizzy Gillespie, Dexter Gordon, Ella Fitzgerald, and Billie Holiday, and includes work by William Gottlieb, Herman Leonard, and Jerry Stahl, some of the genre's best-known photographers. For more information, call 954-602-4500 or go online to miramarculturalcenter.org, and I understand it's a free exhibition. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. You can tune in on your HD radio or go to our beautiful website, our new website at WLRN.org. For more information. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. Adrian Kennedy is our executive producer. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Special thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our great contributors, Judith Bishop and Bill Nix, with appreciation to Jody Horn-Lashinsky for her support for WLRN's South Florida Arts Beat. You can call us with your comments, 305-995-2258, fax us at 305-995-2221, or email us your event information to info@WLRN.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with host Joseph Cooper, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM NPR for all of South Florida. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.